Welcome back to the Weekly News Roundup and the Quick Lines Edition. And today our main stories, we are talking about Microslop deciding to kill the dev accounts for a whole bunch of very, very important security-minded software packages. And, yeah, it's not turning out well. There are three of them. I have the articles on WireGuard and VeraCrypt. If there is a critical vulnerability that shows up, it ain't getting patched, folks. WireGuard is used for protocols for Proton, Malvad VPNs, and a bunch of other security things. Obviously, VeraCrypt, you can do a full disk encryption or file encryption with VeraCrypt. Again, the your VeraCrypt keys may stop working in July if this is not patched, because the keys will be revoked and the developer has lost access to their account and they cannot get in. And the other one was it WinScribe, I think, also lost their developer account. And this apparently comes out of nowhere. Why? They had a very, very, very naughty thing. They did not know that they had to give their government ID to Microslop. Yeah. That's kind of crazy. So WireGuard VPN developer cannot ship software updates after Microslop locks the account. So this is a major VPN company. Of course, there's two main protocols, WireGuard and Open. OpenVPN. I'm actually using OpenVPN for mine because WireGuard turns out requires systemd on Linux. And since one of my main computers I use with that is MX Linux, and I couldn't actually get WireGuard to work because, yeah, I have an MX Linux without systemd. So I had to switch over my VPN to OpenVPN. But WireGuard is still a very good protocol. It is actually faster than OpenVPN. There's serious reasons you should consider using it. However, right now, the developer is completely locked out. He mentions in a post on X that the account termination stopped WireGuard updates from shipping because there were updates that need to be pushed, and he got in there. And it turns out that Microsoft has this developer account thing that anybody pushing software that needs drivers signed need to verify their IDs every once in a while by sharing a government ID with Microslop. And they apparently had to go ahead and do this again. However, Microsoft did not let anybody know, gave no notifications, and simply banned the accounts that did not give government IDs under the time frame that Microsoft never told them. And now, of course, you have three major companies with major security software that cannot even get a hold of Microslop. I believe WireGuard, since I read the article, I think WireGuard has now been able to get in contact with them. Nobody else has. In fact, WinScribe even put out a post on X saying, hey, if there's anybody with a Microsoft with a brain that still works there, please reach out to us. We would like to continue to update our software. But this is kind of a big problem that Microsoft has no means of reaching them. And this should be a fundamental problem. I think any company providing any service to a person has to have a way for a human to contact them. But that could take so much time. So be it. You got billions of dollars. Y'all can figure it out. I mean, even if it's some stupid Indian data center, who knows, you know? But that's just crazy. Account verification process meant developers were required to upload government-issued IDs before they were allowed to publish potentially sensitive code to the broader Windows user base. Microsoft never sent me a notification. I looked in every inbox, every spam folder, every mail log, zero, nothing, zilch, he said. So the hardware program verification program has now concluded, and developers that have not uploaded their documents simply had their accounts suspended, and there is no way to reach out to them. Yeah. So that's WireGuard. VeraCrypt, very similar story on VeraCrypt. And of course, the downside on VeraCrypt here is that in July, those signing keys cycle. And if you happen to have VeraCrypt decrypting your computer, it's going to stop working in July if they cannot get this resolved. And so this is a serious fundamental problem, major problem with Microsoft here. This needs regulatory attention. This needs the crazy psychopaths, the drunken lunatics in Congress, all those apes and monkeys on Capitol Hill to look into this and go, ooh, ooh, ah, ah, take another swig and slap Microsoft for something. I don't know. But it should not be a case that open source security software that millions of people are using for applications and for their Windows devices simply get banned and Microsoft has no recourse. Because, you know, we get more money if we lay off the entire team that communicates with people. And that kind of is part of the problem. All right, well, there's Microslop. This is fun here. Android Alert, 50 Google Play apps linked to no voice malware reached 2.3 million downloads. Of course, you could only download these apps through the Google Play Store, which I was told has the utmost privacy and security. Of course, they're not telling us what any of these 50 Android apps are. They just silently disappeared. And I would really like to look into this because I really, really want to look at these apps and look at their developers' pages and see if these developers are actually verified through Google's ID verification program. And if they are they using their real identities or are they using stolen identities that they stole from, you know, Discord or related services? You know, maybe T for him, T for her, you know, whatever, because everybody wants your government ID now to verify you. Everyone gives it over because, you know, I'm dumb and I have to have my app in my service. And then the IDs get stolen because they're all just using third parties. The third parties don't really care. Data gets breached and some crazy scammer uses your ID to verify their identity to upload malware to Google. I kind of want to know what these apps are because it seems to me like that'd be a little important. But these were apps that were sleeping malware. They basically launched out. Some of these have been out there for almost a decade. And then they all of a sudden turned on and started doing all sorts of weird shenanigan-y things. And, of course, they were all downloaded from the Google Play Store. They were all Google Play, you know, Google Play certified. They were Google Play safe. And I don't know if they were ID verified, which we can't tell because they're not publishing the list of apps. Maybe we should look into that, shouldn't we? That's kind of frightening. All right, and into our next quick line. This is an update on the you either have a fake toll message or a fake traffic ticket. You know, I was driving through a little city there by Cleveland, Parma Heights. They have a really good the exchange store out there if you're from Parma Heights. I stopped by there. Actually, they had like the first movie I was ever looking at. When I wrote out my list in the 90s, movies to get, I had some movies on there way back then. They actually had some of those in stock. I heard about that. So I drove through Parma Heights, stopped by the exchange. It was an awesome store. Picked up about, I don't know, 30, 40 bucks worth of movies and such. There was a big old stack of movies, too. It was awesome. Great time. I'm driving through Parma Heights. And Parma Heights in Ohio there, they have traffic cameras everywhere and signs all over the place that we're going to, you know, all traffic citations are done with these things. And nothing makes you drive more paranoid, like a more paranoid freak than all these cameras and all these signs warning that these cameras are going to send you fines. You know, so I'm driving through Parma Heights completely unaware or unaware. Like, I think I'm driving well, but I don't know if the camera thinks I'm driving well or not. And so, you know, I might get some random text like, you violated some law over here in Parma Heights, you know. And now there's a new update to this because they realize people have learned that the links there, and people have learned to look at this, go, I don't know, I just don't think blah, 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 dot XYZ is probably a legitimate place to pay my thing. So now they've upgraded. Now they're doing QR codes because we've all been trained like a bunch of monkeys. Give me some fruit, you know. We're all trained to do that kind of stuff, and we just click the scan the QR codes. Uh-oh, I must have some fines. Scan the QR code like a moron. And boom, they steal all your information. So, you know, new scam, but old scam, new way of doing your scam, we should say. So just be aware of that. You get QR codes in your email. Guys, don't scan QR codes. Don't scan QR codes. If you must, use something that does not automatically take you there. Use something like, I know GrapheneOS's camera can do a QR code and it will tell you where it wants to go. And then you have the option to go there or not. Things like that are certainly it. All right, a couple new workplace scams. Actually, this is job recruitment scams coming out. This is becoming a huge, huge issue right now because, and I think there's some regulatory oversight is needed here. I watch some of the recruiting manager YouTube videos and things because I just find the market fascinating. Of course, like Joshua Fluke does a lot of things of corporate nonsense and recruiting scams. And, you know, these companies are like, you can't use AI. And you go in for your first interview and you're interviewing with an AI bot. Like, wonderful. And so, looking at the different companies, one thing that some of these guys, so the one guy that has the channel, I think Life Out, was it Life After or Life After Layoff or something like that? That channel there, that's a fascinating channel. He looks at some of this kind of stuff here. And he goes into a lot talking about the ghost jobs. So a lot of companies just post jobs they have no intention of hiring for. Sometimes they're just collecting resumes in case they find some unicorn that's like, wow, this is a really, let's bring them in for something. Sometimes they just post these jobs they're not intending to hire for just to make the other people in the company scared to think they're replaceable. Sometimes they're just doing it to make themselves look profitable to the shareholders so the shareholders keep on putting more money in. There's a number of different ways. I think that's the first regulatory thing we need to do. Any job being promoted must be a job you're actively seeking to employ. And we're talking, give these companies massive fines if they're caught promoting jobs that they're not actually hiring for. Just stop it. The second problem we have is there's a whole lot of scammers out there that realize everybody's looking for a job. And right now it's not uncommon to have to put out 100, 200, 300, 500 or more job applications just to get one callback. And that callback might even be a scammer. And so in this environment where so many people are losing their jobs, mostly thanks to AI, and so many ghost jobs out there, and the entire way of looking for a job now is just absolutely insane. Like here's a brief tip for you, a little parenthetical to what I'm talking about here. If you are in the market for a new job, go get a new phone with a Mint Mobile 3-month card. Establish yourself a new email address, Tuta Mail, Proton Mail, whatever else. Get yourself one specific phone number, one specific address. Use that information out while you're looking for a job. When you find that real legitimate job, go through and get it, cancel those, give them your real information, and then you're good to go. That's probably a better bet so that your information doesn't get completely caught up, A, in every single data broker's data set, and B, into every single scammer's data set. The two places you don't want your data to be. All right, so what these are here, there's two new ones here. One of these is from Coca-Cola, allegedly. It's not. And the other one from Ferrari. Definitely not a hot job prospect. All right, so these ones here are tricking you into handling over your Google Work account credentials through a fake sign-in page that even works on a command and control server on the back end to actually harvest your SMS tokens as well. Hint, pro tip, if your Google account is locked with a YubiKey, they can't bypass that. They can't get into it. Only if you're doing some type of key can they get in, like an SMS type key or something like that, they can get into it. Though it's relying on the input to an attacker-controlled backend to dynamically serving two-factor authentication prompts based on the server's response. And so effectively, you go in here. Now, one of the things that this Coca-Cola scam is doing here is the first is it's actually forcing you to use it. You can't use a gmail.com address. They want you to actually use a company type address that's still a Google server. This is kind of built weird. I wouldn't do that if I were the scammer because it completely prevents a whole lot of people from getting in here. But, you know, maybe they're just trying to harvest, you know, companies' Google domains to steal data from the company itself. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. It just doesn't seem good. But it's this perfect overlay. It's a, you know, hey, it's a Calendly event. You hit this over there. You have to, of course, you have to log in with your Google login. So you get what looks like an official Google login. It even says up here at the top, let's see if we can see it. It even says up here accounts.google.com sign. So it even looks legitimate, even though it's actually a fake window. But the whole thing it's doing is it's harvesting your information, including your two-factor authentication codes. Again, a passkey can't get into that. because he can't transmit the passkey. So if you're using the YubiKeys or some hardware passkey, you're safe. But most people are still doing the SMS type stuff, and that is allowing it to be stolen. So basically, they don't want the gmail.com addresses, but they're using the work or business emails instead. So this one is actually targeting people who already have a job, not people that are out of work and looking for one. The other one here, this one will target anybody because effectively they just want your Facebook credentials. So you've been invited to apply to Ferrari's marketing team. Yeah. In my inbox. Wow, you found me. I've always wanted to be a marketer for a Ferrari, you know. And so when you click the link, you have to enter your email, but then you're redirected to the Facebook login page. Even looking at this, continue with Facebook or email address. Continue with email. Facebook required is what that red button says. And so effectively, they want to harvest your Facebook information, and then that's going to get in there and steal all of your data. So there you go. Isn't that wonderful stuff? How great. All right. So that's what they're doing there. Couple data leaks. Hims and Hers customer data leaked. Who's Hims and Hers? Yeah, it's one of these third-party providers for medical companies that you've probably never heard of. But they collect data. They are a third-party back end for like millions and millions of people, and their data just leaked because, you know, they're just providing a service. Some private equity firm hired the cheapest bidders out of like India or something. Who knows? They might have been the guys to break into it. Who knows, right? Those companies outsource or customer support the third-party platform. Every one of those platforms becomes another door someone can try to kick in. Company is notifying customers that hackers broke into the customer service platform and stole support tickets. Hims and Hers is one of America's biggest direct-to-consumer telehealth brands, offering subscription-based treatments for hair loss, yang, twang, mental health, skin care, and weight loss with annual revenues approaching $1 billion. If only they took a little bit of that money and hired a real security team. All right, so February, they detected suspicious activity in its third-party customer service platform. They found between February 4th and 7th, attackers accessed and stole customer service tickets, and the company didn't confirm it until a month later, March 3rd, that information was actually stolen, including all the various things that you were doing. How wonderful indeed. So, third parties. We need to just ban third parties. If your company cannot make it work without bringing in a third party, I don't know. I just think you need to stop doing business. Slow it down a little bit here, you know. All right, I have to change my opinion on this one after reading this article. All right, so my past opinion has been, okay, you're bringing a data center, you have to bring your power company with you. Okay. The question, the caveat here is, what is the source of that power? And the reason I want to mention this, again, it's not a full total change. I don't think a data center should go up in some area where it's going to suck power off the grid and drive up electricity prices for everybody. Because as we covered in a report before, that the companies would move in, they negotiate a really low power rate. The power company then drives up your rates as the consumer. So you end up paying more, and then the company pays a lot less for electricity. And so there's been proposals that suggest that every data center has to come with its own power company, like power supply source. And then that's what I agree with in principle. The problem here is that this data center is coming up with natural gas power plants. And that means natural gas, a finite resource, is being siphoned off. And we have the exact same problem. Whether it comes, the cost is coming from the cost of the natural gas or the cost of the electricity generated by the natural gas. Anytime a data center is impacting the customer, the endpoint customer, residential supply, it's going to cause problems. And for this basis, while I still agree that data centers, any new data centers have to come with their own power, I also think that those power systems should be completely independent of any form of residential power. So they must work within the confines of solar or wind or something else that does not impact other consumer electricity. Nuclear might be the best. We have a lot of much safer nuclear technology than we had years ago. That might actually be the best way to go. But looking through this, and the biggest concern is if the AI companies are coming in and building natural gas power plants, now they need a bunch of natural gas. And we're going to have the exact same thing happening with this as we are going to have happening with RAM prices right now. All the data centers want the RAM. RAM prices went up 400%. Well, if all the data centers now want all the natural gas, what do you think is going to happen to natural gas prices? I bet that's going to go up 400% too. And all this, by the way, if the more you as a society, we as a society use AI for useless things, the worse this is going to get. When we start rejecting AI for purposes that it does not actually have to be used for, we will be in a better place. People should be running their own offline AI models. People should be using it only for that what they have to. No more cats versus robot videos. Yes, they're cute. Yes, they're funny. But I don't want to pay 4 times more, 5 times more for electricity so that you can have a cat fighting a robot video on YouTube. That's retarded. Stop. But the more you keep driving it, the more these data centers they build, the higher the prices of everything is going to go on. We are going to be priced out of the world so that we can have cat versus robot on a stupid short on YouTube. It's not worth it. We need to stop. But that's kind of this whole article. I kind of went into it pretty much. What down here? The scramble for natural gas has led to a shortage of turbines for power plants, with prices likely to rise 195% by the end of the year relative to 2019 prices. Wonderful. So there you go. Natural gas isn't an unlimited resource. If the ambitions grow too big, even behind the meter operations could soon drive up power prices for everyone. We've all seen how that has played out. So, yeah, I have to say we have to caveat now my view that data centers power have to come with their own power plants, and those power plants have to be completely independent from residential or basic consumer power systems. So there you go. All right. Couple Netflix videos here. First, Netflix must refund customers for years of price hikes in an Italian court rules. So there's a law in Italy that if you have a service that the price is going to go up, you have to justify in the initial contract that the price is going up. You can't do what Netflix has been doing and just go in and, hey, we're raising our prices this year, because there's no justification in the terms. Now, they are forced to pay back each customer up to about 500 euros. Starting in the 2017, 19, 21, and 24 price hikes were all deemed unlawful. Unfortunately, after this lawsuit was filed, Netflix changed its terms addressing this, and so all future price hikes are going to be perfectly legal. Even though the court literally just found you have violated our law, of course, the moronic customer service person down here says, where's it at? We take consumer rights very seriously and believe our terms and conditions have always been in line with the Italian law and practice. You know that's a spokesperson is speaking because their lips are moving, because they're saying here, we have always been in follow with law and practice. Well, the judge disagreed with you, Netflix. Why don't you take that customer service person and boot him out of your company, because he's clearly a retard. Okay, we have always followed customer service practices and we have always followed the law. The judge disagreed with you. Come on, man, what's going on? All right. But anyway, so they have to refund back up to $500 to a person. Basically, anybody, any amount of money you paid over what your original contract was is what's going to go on. So they have then said any price hikes after 2025 are legal. So there you have it. We need that. Now, of course, this is an interesting one. So Netflix is now expanding into kids' games with a new standalone app. So there you go, guys. Now you can, from the creators of Cuties, which sexualize little girls, and that crazy, nasty cartoon, which they had them involved in some form of sausage tossing? I don't know what to say about that. This is that company, and now they want to make apps for your kids. Now, Netflix is a bunch of perverts. Okay, don't let them near your children. But they have, they say that the app gives children access to an ever-growing library of games for kids featuring all of their favorite cartoons. It can be accessible offline without mobile or Wi-Fi connection. The company says it makes it the perfect companion for large airplane rides or grocery trips. That's all we need. More children staring at screens, meandering like zombies through the grocery store. There you go, guys. Watch out. Don't install this on your children's phone. In fact, if you have a phone for your child, break it, please. Tablets, break those too. They do not need these devices. Netflix is like positively promoting the iPad kid. Okay, this is a problem. Building a world where kids can not only watch their favorite stories, they can step inside them and interact with their favorite characters. Sounds like they're inducing addiction here. You know, didn't Meta and YouTube both lose lawsuits in California and New Mexico over addictive social media platforms? And here's Netflix. Hey, guys, here's an offline video game system. Came up with our in our perverted boardrooms. It also came up with Cuties and that other perverted cartoon show, and now we are going to use this so that your children can be perpetually watching our stuff even when they don't even have internet. It's like that Rivian commercial, right? And we're driving, is it Rivian? I forget. It was like some car commercial driving around. How's your connection? Oh, it's good. It's good. How's your connection? It's good. How's your connection? Oh, I don't have any connection, Dad. Perfect. We're going to camp here. Why don't you just be a man and take the phone away from the kid? You know what I mean? Y'all know what that car commercial was? I don't know. But anyway, here's Netflix over here wanting to get your children addicted to an app here. Brought to you by the perverts at Netflix. All right. How wonderful. Well, just in time for Graphene OS to come up with the Motorola phones. Motorola is suddenly rising their budget phones by up to 50%. That's right. The brand new Moto G phone is going to start at $400. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's $300. The Moto G Power is now $400. So the lowest line, the Moto G, is $300. The higher one, the Power, is $400. But still, $300. And I'll pay $300 for phones. Of course, they'll probably put that graphene as an extra, you know, extra cost. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens when the graphene comes out with Motorola. But anyway, Moto Series G occupies an important place on smartphone. Before the first-gen G launched, phones that cost under $200 were universally terrible. I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of Motorola's either because, well, to unlock the bootloader, you have to beg them for permission on the phone that you paid for. So I don't like that. But yeah, that's what Motorola's up to. We still have our Sillyville section next. So let's see what's going on in Sillyville. First up, we have this octogenarian has had Dodgers season tickets for 50 years. And they will not print out his tickets for him anymore. He has to use a smartphone with that digital tickets app, which is completely stupid. We need to stop putting together a society assuming everybody has a smartphone, especially since there has been a resurgence in dumb phones. You know, I'm not getting tickets on my device. In fact, we were talking about this out here with friends, and I guess it was either a Penn State game or something else that was going on. And they said, yeah, you can't even take a screenshot of the ticket. It has to be inside the secure wallet app. Which is even stupider. It's like, what is going on with this world, you know? But here's a guy that for 50 years... Now, they said he can still go and get tickets printed that day at the game, but he can't have them print the whole season tickets. And he says this is stupid. He says, clearly the printers work. You just don't want to. And this is one of those crazy things. It's like, dude, man, hey, Dodgers. All right, this guy is dedicated. 50 straight years in a row without missing, this man buys season tickets. You want to be so petty to say, sorry, old geezer, you got to get yourself a different phone to get your tickets. What kind of society do we live in? Dodgers, you should be ashamed. All right. This is Sillyville, but it's quite tragic. A patient dies in a Connecticut hospital because their ICU was run by a telehealth doctor. Probably some dude in like India. Hello, how may I help you? Oh, you are dying. Push the red button next to the phone. Call the nurse. I am not here. I am in Calcutta. I can't help you right now. All right. So, patient dies. Connecticut hospital sued for running ICU with a telehealth doctor. Yeah. Got a cut that's starting to look infected. Just call a doctor. Hold it through into the camera. He or she holds your prescription. Easy as you please. However, Yale New Haven's Bridgeport Hospital in Milford, Connecticut has allegedly taken the idea of telehealth to a whole new level. For the hospital is being sued for running telehealth intensive care ICU unit after a patient dies. I mean, guys, if I walk into a hotel that I've booked a room and I walk in and I'm greeted with a guy in India on an iPad, I am walking out and I'm getting my refund. Okay. I am going into the hotel for the experience. I expect you to be hiring some minimum wage kid to sit behind the desk all night. Okay. Is that too much to ask? Do you have to pay the Indian 2 cents to be there? I mean, really? But if I walk into a hospital, and you get this? Dude, I'm finding a witch doctor, okay? I trust the witch doctor before the telehealth doctor, all right? I want the whole skulls around the neck and everything. Find me a witch doctor. I ain't going for your telehealth. Oh, dear. What is our world coming to? What a world, what a world, what a world. And for our last story, I'm pleased to announce that the end of the self-driving trucks. Because it's not enough that they're running around school buses with the stop signs out. No, 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 no. Outrage has finally struck because a self-driving car in Texas hit a mother duck. Never mind the kids. You can abort babies all day long, but how dare you hurt the animal? You know, it's more illegal in America to kill an eagle's egg than it is to kill a human's egg. Yikes. But a self-driving car in Texas hit and killed the mother duck, and the neighborhood is now outraged. They weren't outraged, mind you, when the cars are passing the school buses with the stop signs out. That's not outrage. That's a mean letter. No, no, no. Protests. A duck was killed. The duck was killed. The death of a duck in Austin, Texas, enclave of a Mueller Lake, has neighbors raising concerns about autonomous vehicles. So the fact one of these killed people isn't a problem to you. Gotta save the duck. What does Howard say? Humans are responsible for killing animals with their cars all the time. This incident brought negative attention to the new technology. Local media picked up on the duck incident after a resident posted in a Mueller neighborhood Facebook group that an Arvid autonomous vehicle with a human safety driver operator behind the wheel ran over and killed a duck and did not stop afterwards. It didn't slow down or hesitate. It steamrolled right on through. All right. Residents' familiarity with this particular duck, which was nesting on a pot located outside of the local Italian eatery, has added to the outrage and mistrust of the autonomous vehicle technology. Did TechCrunch do such an impassioned article when it's running past school buses with the lights on? Yeah. Oh. Resident claimed their post that the vehicle failed to stop at a stop sign. No, we don't care that it ran over the stop sign. We just care that it killed the duck. Yeah. So we can expect the end of self-driving cars in Austin, Texas now because the duck has been harmed. Well, if you enjoyed this video from this raving mad lunatic, have a look at our support page, switchlinks.com/support, if you want to help support the channel. We have Subscribestar, Patreon, Locals over there. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy switching to Linux.